fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Yay.
Hello. Ta-da. Hello, Astrid.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
We are excited to have you with us.
Good. Thank
you. We're thrilled that you broke through your fear and did. We're inspired to do what was the normal course of action, what was the most obvious thing that you should do. Mm-hmm. And you put aside your fear and you did it anyway. And this is what you do, what you all do, anytime you're inspired to do something, anytime you feel an inclination, anytime that it makes sense, anytime that's logical. You want to do it. You know you should do it. You feel inspired to do it. You're ready to do it. And yet you stop yourself from doing it. You limit yourself through irrational fear. Fear that comes up for silly little things. How will I look? How will I sound? How will I be perceived? What will happen if this happens? What will happen if that happens? What will happen if this happens? You don't know what's going to happen. All you know is that this is the next logical step. So step into it. Go for it. And you'll find that you will enjoy it. It'll be something you're ready for, something you're prepared to do. It'll be the perfect thing. And it may not lead to extraordinary bouts of joy. It might lead you into a manifestation event. That's okay. That's what it's for. You can be inspired to jump into a manifestation event. You can be inspired to move in this direction that leads you into some event that is for your highest good. It is all for your highest good. It's just that you need to acknowledge it. Once you acknowledge it in the moment that it's for your highest good, then you can release your fear, because whatever happens has to happen to get you where you need to go. You see, you are not yet a vibrational match to the thing that you want. That's why it does not exist in your reality. In order for it to exist in your reality, you must step through the process. The process is altering a belief here, getting a new idea here, moving to another level here, finding a limiting belief here, facing your fear here, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. It is that approach to life that will allow you to mold your vibration so that it matches anything you desire. And the better you get at doing that, the better you can get at manifesting whatever you want. And there is no limits. You can literally be, have, and do anything in this reality, anything you want. The only thing that limits you is fear, and all that fear is irrational. Yeah. So, where are the applause? We are winning.
Yay! Yay!
That's all you need to know. If you just needed to hear those words, if you could just understand those words, pushing through this irrational fear, realizing the fear is irrational in the first place, and just doing what you're inspired to do without worrying about it. That's all you need to do to live the most abundant life, to live the most satisfying, enjoyable, expansive, groundbreaking, level-busting life you've ever had, you could ever imagine. Now that you know this stuff, why limit yourself? Is there anything that you want to do that you are limiting yourself from doing? Anyone?
No.
So you, Steve, are doing everything you want to do.
Not yet, but I'm pretty happy as far as the pace that it's coming at me right now.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So you have an idea, and you move forward with that idea, and you have a little fear, and then what do you do next?
You just push through it.
How do you push through it?
Well, you just do it.
Well, that's an excellent quote. Someone should put that on a t-shirt. But what do you say to yourself to ease the intensity of that fear? Are you one of those people that are fearless?
I like to think so.
Does fear affect you?
Fear is exciting. Makes it exciting.
Does fear stop you from doing certain things?
Yeah. Not that it should.
It's not the fear of, it's not the rational fear. You are not rationally fearful. You're irrationally fearful. The rational fear, you can conquer that. That's the easy fear.
Yeah, that's true.
But taking over a podcast for a week,
yeah.
Jumping into that, was there a little fear there?
Yeah, but...
And what did you tell yourself?
I actually, every time it would start to come up, I would kind of just say it's going to be okay. And I actually didn't dwell on it, I guess. I didn't give it any energy. When it would start to come up, I would just kind of, nah. And just, I could feel it go away. You know what I'm saying? It's like, as soon as it starts to come up, since these days, fear is kind of obvious to me. And so as it comes up, I like to just, if I nip it in the bud right away, it doesn't seem to get a foothold. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
remember in the beginning when you presented yourself as fearless.
Yes.
And then we had a lot of fun with you bringing up all these tiny little irrational fears.
There were a lot of fear.
And
I had
then
no
you
idea.
Realized that you weren't as fearless as you thought.
No, I had no idea. I had no idea.
And that's because you didn't even realize they were fears.
No, I didn't. That was just life. That was just who I was, and I didn't question it at all.
And you thought it was sort of natural.
Yeah. There was nothing to question, actually.
Everyone has a fear of this sort of thing. Well, that may be true, but the fear is still irrational. And there's ways to deal with that fear. And the way you deal with it is by analyzing it, realizing it's irrational, proving it's false. How did you prove that the fear of taking over the podcast was an irrational and therefore a false fear? Did you find evidence?
I had a hunch that it was just going to – it would be turn out okay. And it was interesting because I was, you know, up for my 35th high school reunion. So I was busy that night before, and normally I think I would have prepared like you do. Well, like Gary does, sorry, and to do the intro, and I didn't have time. And then the next morning, both Michael and Kyla had done it for me, essentially. It was so.
You mean the universe did it for you?
The universe had done it for me. It was so perfect, and that made me smile, and it just makes me feel like the universe has my back, and it's going to be okay.
So imagine the night before, you're sort of worried about doing the podcast. And you think, what do I have to do? I need to prepare. But yet, something you're not inspired to do, so you leave it, and it gets done all on its own. Therefore, that fear was never a real rational fear. The next idea is that I'm doing this podcast with the three of us. What could go wrong? What may happen? And then you can soothe yourself by saying things like, well, you know, it's only 6 million people listening to it. It's no big deal. Not like the whole world is listening to it. And we've done it before 49 other times. Everything went well then. And there's always things to talk about. I have an abundance of ideas to share with other people. So there will never be a lull. And I have two other people with me who are fantastic speakers and enjoy this immensely. And like always, the podcast goes by so quickly, it doesn't seem like 10 minutes, let alone an hour.
I also added at the very beginning, I said, oh, and Kyla can edit whatever we need to. So that made me feel good, too.
So there's device after device after device after device after device to alleviate your fear.
Yes.
If you have not been listening to us long, we have explained that to pet a lion is irrational fear. To jump out of an airplane is irrational fear. But you can get over these fears if you use a device. You might use a tranquilizer dart to tranquilize the lion and pet him when he's unconscious. You might use a parachute as a device to jump out of an airplane and land safely. You can use the same devices to conquer any irrational fear as well. In this case, a device would be Kyla's ability to edit out anything that was went wrong or went
awry.
I can't even say the word wrong. not according to plan. So these are devices you can use to get over your fear.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So irrational fear, analyze it, use devices, push through it to do what you know you're supposed to be doing and not to stay in your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone because in your comfort zone, nothing's going to change. You're not going to make a difference, a dent in your vibration. Your vibration is going to, it won't stay the same, but it won't get to a match of what you want. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get to a match of what you want, the universe is leading you in the direction downstream towards the changes that you need to make in order for your desire to manifest. There's nothing upstream. It's all easy. It's all downstream. And the only thing in your way, the only thing, is these little tiny irrational fears. The fears that say, let's stay home tonight instead of going out. Let's watch TV instead of reading. Let's do this instead of that. Let's not call this person, even though I have this inspiration to call them, because what would happen if I called them and they were doing something else and it was inappropriate time for me to call? That sort of thing. Follow this inspiration, just these ideas, these thoughts. Kate, you are having a difficulty understanding what inspiration is.
Mm.
Do you still have this fuzzy idea of inspiration?
Yeah, a bit, but I think it's partly because I just don't recognize it. You know, I do things and then afterwards I think, well, maybe that was inspiration, but maybe I'm waiting for a big bang or a light or some kind of emotional feeling which isn't happening. So, and maybe I'm just not pushing myself out of my comfort zone, therefore I don't know what inspiration is because, so yeah, I'm afraid it still is a bit, you know, it's not distinct to me. I don't recognize it if it happens to me.
It is happening all the time.
Okay.
Many, 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 many times a day. It's this thought that comes to you. If you are in a positive emotional state of being and you receive a thought to call your mother, that's inspiration.
Hmm.
And you will say, oh, I don't want to get on the phone with my mother now. It's not a good time. She'll be on there forever. She'll talk about these things that I want to talk about. She'll complain. I want to listen to her complaining. She'll talk about my sisters, and that's a sore subject right now, on and on and on. These are all irrational fears. The first idea was the idea to call your mother, call your mother. And then when you call your mother, before you call, you pre-pave that by saying, I intend for this conversation to go exactly as planned, that will be enlightening. It'll move me towards another thought. It will move her towards another thought. I will be curious about, why am I calling my mother now? What is there to get out of this? Will there be a limiting belief that I will figure out during this? What could the limiting beliefs be? That sort of idea. Go in with curiosity. You get the idea to walk to this restaurant, or to take a left turn instead of a right turn as you walk home, or to you notice a person and you have this inspiration to say hi, but you are stopped from doing that because in your culture, it might seem weird to go up to a stranger and say hi. Mm. What would that person think? Maybe they'll think I'm attracted to them. Maybe they'll think I want something from them. Maybe they're not someone I can trust. All these things. But if it's just the thought. Now, sometimes inspiration is like, it's an obvious thing. And that's just when everything is lined up perfectly and you are get an idea or an invitation and you just say, yes, that's what I want to do. You were invited to a Joshua cruise. Yes, that's the obvious thing I want to do. There is no other thing. Or you get invited to a Joshua cruise and go, how am I going to afford that? How can I pay for that? And then you just trust that the money will come for it, that whatever it is that you need to happen will happen. How will I get the time off? You just trust that things will line up. This is something I want to do. It's an obvious thing. I'm just going to say yes. Now, that's an obvious inspiration. But the little ones, the little bangs, the little nudges, little bumps. This is how you come in tune with your thoughts, because your entire life you've been allowing your thoughts to float randomly here and there, left and right. Now you are starting to meditate. Now you're starting to see the numbers of the clock line up. Now you are starting to be aware of the conversations you overhear, of the headlines you see, of the books you read or titles you see. Now you are becoming aware of more things. And this is guidance and inspiration. Mm. Look for these little things and just go with them without worrying about what might happen. Mm. And if you can do that, then you will notice that one thing will lead to another, will lead to another, will lead to another, and you'll get down the road a little bit further. Mm.
It sounds like what you're, from what I understand, any little idea that comes up, which I would tend to brush away, go with it.
Go with it and see what happens. Adopt a state of curiosity, and you will find that you will be getting things from these little ideas that you need. Mm. Okay.
And that's the universe, as long as you're,
as long as you're in a high vibrational state of being. As long as you're not depressed or sad or angry or mad.
I had,
if it's a normal state, you'll be fine.
I just sorry to interrupt. I did have an inspiration on just before the call. So I was coming out of the gym, and I had completely forgotten this evening with you guys. Completely. It didn't cross my mind once today. So I went to the gym. I was super excited, and I come out of the gym. And as I come out, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've just completely missed the call. And so I'm walking home, and I've got, you know, it's 10 to 8 my time, and I'm thinking, well, I'll just check in and apologize to everyone. And I check in, and I see that there's a mail which has gone around saying, let's do the call at 8. I'm like, yes, I could do it. So I ran home, and here I am.
And everything worked out perfectly.
And it was perfect. I did the gym. I got to see you guys, and I checked my phone, whereas I nearly didn't.
So... the inspiration was to do what?
It was to check my phone.
Check your phone. The inspiration to look at the clock when it's all lined up at 111 or 222 or 333. That's inspiration right there.
Yeah.
That is guidance from non-physical. It's not you thinking it's you. All your life you thought it was you.
Right?
Yeah. When you wonder what someone's name is and the name pops into your head, you think you just remembered the name?
Yep.
The name was given to you. When you can't find your keys and you just all of a sudden think maybe the keys are in the bag, that idea is given to you.
Can I ask a quick one just along those lines, how the universe works?
It's 222 right now.
Yes, I think.
it was 111 a minute ago.
I have the number 1008 that's associated with Sherry, and that was the date that she died, or she transitioned, I should say. And I was buying a phone the other day at Verizon, and the Verizon ad had a picture of a phone, and the time on the phone was 1008. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, okay, that might be Sherry. And then as I was leaving, paying for my stuff, the woman who checked me out, her name was Sherry, but it was spelled exactly like she spells it, which is kind of unique. It's C-H-E-R-I-E. So it's a unique spelling. So I just thought with that back-to-back Sherry thing that it probably was the universe reflecting that. But what I was confused about was that would mean Verizon years, you know, like months ago, somebody in marketing decided to put up. How does that work exactly?
Good question.
Do you think that you share the same reality as everyone else?
I assumed that there were some shared components.
You create your reality. Right.
Okay.
So has anyone else ever noticed that time on the Verizon ad besides you?
Yeah, I guess that I might be unique in that situation, but everybody else is experiencing the same ad, right?
But not noticing it.
Hmm.
No one's pointing out that time in the ad to them. Right? That time could, or that those series of numbers could be on a million different things. But you were directed to that ad, right? So that ad was the closest thing to you that you could be directed to.
Oh,
the thought,
okay.
Look at that ad. It says 1038. Look, or you could have looked at a billboard, and it could have been, you know, a radio station with those numbers. Or you could have looked at a headline in a newspaper. 1,038 people were killed in a bomb blast.
It's 1008, just for the
1008, 1008 people.
Yeah, it happened quite a bit this weekend even. I got change of 10:08, which I, you know, it all triggers. But I guess I was just, I thought that maybe, I think it's Sherry that's involved with this.
So Sherry is pointing this out.
Okay, so she's just pointing out stuff around that can...
She thinks it's fun as hell.
It is. I think it's fun too. I think what my mistake was, or my, not my mistake, but my confusion.
You believed that she went back in time to this person who created the ad and could coerce the person into changing it to 10:08.
Yes.
And, but there's random, we won't say random, but there's 10:08s everywhere. Okay. And she's pointing you towards the 10:08 she wants, that's closest to you, that you can see.
Got it.
Lots of times it's on the clock. Lots of times it's once in a while it's in a Verizon ad. Once in a while it's on a billboard. Once in a while there's a Sherry cashier working those particular hours at a store where you need to get something at that right timing. That's how everything works. Everything is the right timing.
And but I have a question on the back of that, because of law of attraction and because Steve is focusing on this number and he's in that energy right now, is he not maybe attracting more and more of it to him?
He's a cooperating component. Okay. If he did not believe in this shit, he would not be a cooperating component.
We're all so rude. I love it.
Luckily, he believes in this shit. And so he's in on the game. He's with Sherry in on the same game. And he gets to play in the game because he's not finding reasons not to have fun. He could be, every time he looked at that number, and be depressed by it, right? And then he would be playing the game. He'd be resisting the game. And he couldn't play the game if he was resisting the game. It wouldn't be any fun. So he's in the game. He's having fun playing the game. But this is how the universe works. You have to, one, be in the game. And two, you have to be aware of what's happening when it happens. You don't have to be aware. You can see the 1038 and just think that's a strange, unusual thing and keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about it because they think you're weird. But to you, it's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Having that perspective.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah. Yep. So, Kyla, how are you? You'd had a wonderful radio show.
Thank you. I am doing really well. I don't know.
Excellent.
Yeah. I am. I feel like I'm in this place where I am easily overcoming irrational fear. And I'm, surprisingly enough, not really getting everything that I want. So...
Well, you don't know what you want, do you?
No, I don't. I keep
thinking what you really want is inconceivable from where you stand right now.
Right.
If you really knew what you wanted, you would. If you really knew what you're going to receive, if you really knew who you really were,
right.
Right. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So you're coming into alignment at a very fast pace with all these desires that you have that you can't articulate, because the reason you can't articulate them is because they seem too big for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing is too big for you. You are capable of achieving things beyond your wildest dreams. Just from this perspective, it doesn't seem like that's possible. Or even desirable. had someone told Gary 10 years ago that he'd be doing this now, he would not want to do it. He would say, I want to do anything differently than this. I do not want to be part of this. It's too weird. He had to get from step point A to point Z in, we will say, a million steps before he was able to do this. And now he is completely in bliss, pursuing something that very few people get to do, that very few people even understand how it's done, and immersing himself in the whole experience of it, but still extremely limited. There's only 6 million people listening.
Just the other day I was thinking about what it will be like when there actually is 6 million people listening. I mean, I'm sure there are, but...
There's not 6 million people listening? We didn't say they were all physical.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I was just imagining the feeling of looking at metrics and seeing it in front of me on paper and be like, oh my God, yeah, it's real.
It would be exciting.
Yeah.
And also overwhelming. That is just how things go. You are in this process where you are having exciting, interesting things happening to you. And it can get overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then you put up a little resistance. You feel sad for a couple of minutes. And then you realign and go forward again. It's just a cycle. Create desire. Move towards the desire. Feel a lot of fear, resistance, overwhelmment, even though it's irrational. Talk yourself through it. Get comfortable with it. Come into vibrational alignment with it. And now you're bored again. So from boredom, create a desire. Move up that arc towards the top of the hill.
Right.
Pass through those fears that kept you from having what you want to have anyway, but now you're passing through them. That resistance, it's like the space shuttle coming through the atmosphere, landing back on Earth. It's going through that resistance, coming back into alignment with the Earth, and it's a bumpy ride. But once it's here, and once the astronauts are on land, and once they go to Denny's for dinner, it's boring again. And then they think about going back up to space. And that's what you do every level, every single level.
Right. I feel like I've been expanding at a rapid rate for a long time now, but especially this past couple weeks. But even with that level of expansion, I still feel like I'm just about to like bust through to another level, if that makes any sense in terms of my path and what I'm going to do next.
We will say that you bust through fear and you align with the vibration of that next level.
Okay.
So the only thing you're busting through is that wall of fear.
Okay. So I am aware that I have some resistance to whatever it is. Is it still just fear of what people will think? Or
who are you worried about what they think? What kind of people? Are you worried about what the listeners to the podcast think?
Not at all. People close
because
to me.
Because they're like-minded.
Right.
And they're strangers.
Yeah.
And you realize that they're on their path. They're on their journey. Right. And if they judge you, well, that's just them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of what the dentist thinks?
Less and less so.
Are you afraid of what your parents think?
Yeah, my mom. Yeah.
Okay. What are you afraid of your mom thinking?
I know it's all irrational because she loves me really well and always has been super supportive. I am afraid of her being disappointed, I guess.
So you are here challenging fear on a podcast that speaks to millions and millions, leader of an entire thought movement. You see the humor in this? It's sort of like Wonder Woman being worried that her mother thinks that her dress is too tight.
I do. And the thing is, I know that it's not at all even about my mother, that it's obviously these, you know, small limiting beliefs inside me that I hold. And so I project it onto her like, oh, she's going to think this about me. So that means that I'm actually just thinking, part of me is thinking those things about myself, that I'm wrong for doing this or doing that. So I understand that it's not really even about her.
But how could you be wrong? Even if she thought you were wrong, how could you be wrong? In what way would you be wrong? Wasting your time, thinking things that aren't true, or doing something that even if it was perceived as ridiculous, it's still a positive thing.
Yeah.
You're still helping people. You're still talking about what you're passionate about.
Right.
You're still working on this idea that you think is a big idea. Even if it was a completely ridiculous idea, it's still something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's, yeah. And I've gotten that from the passion meditation, the idea that it can be right for me, even if it's not right for anyone else.
Anyone else.
I don't need other people's approval. So I'm, because it, what I'm focused on right now is exploring the topic of sex and exploring myself through that. And that's something that was just really repressed in me growing up. And so now there's still a part of me that feels wrong for being open about it. And being into what I'm into. I don't know.
We will say that that idea of sex is something that has a lot of momentum behind it, mm-hmm. and a lot of fear behind it. Mm. But in a natural world, would there be any fear behind it? In a natural world, would there be any judgment behind it? If you were...
No.
It's like going to Disneyland and saying that you can go on any ride, but the best ride, the Matterhorn, that's the bad ride. Okay? If you go on that ride, you got to go, well, there's a whole procedure. First of all, you have to get committed for life. You have to have a ceremony and bring all your friends. And then you can go on that ride, but that's pretty much the only ride you get to do. So either you take that ride by itself, or you can enjoy all the other rides, but the other rides are pretty boring. Oh, don't do the drug ride either. That one is a big... Or don't do the swear ride. Don't do the gambling ride. There's so many rides that you can't do. Which ride can you do? You can do It's a Small World. As much as you want.
But we don't live in a natural world. We live in this that strange Disneyland that you're describing. So there's
saying that you can know instinctively or just by sheer observation that these judgments against things that are natural are preposterous, and they're brought on by fear, and there's no need to perpetuate that. And if you don't have to tell anyone about it, but you certainly don't have to think it, right? You can know that that is a false fear.
That's
of,
what I'm
of all the fears, that's the obviously false one. And you can do whatever you like.
But there is
when I'm in
judgment.
There's not judgment in non-physical.
Right, I know that.
There's only judgment in physical.
And there's not judgment in the moment. Like, I'm able to, when I'm in the moment, when I'm not thinking about other people and what they will, when I'm just following my inspiration, when I'm just doing what feels good, nothing feels more natural than that. And it's not until my monkey brain starts going again, you know, when it's like I'm able to suspend that for a certain amount of time when I'm mindful, when I'm focusing on the now, but then it seems like that always comes back. Like, oh, when I think, I have a friend who I love and, you know, I know she loves me, but there are certain things that I don't feel comfortable being open about with her because I know that she has fears and I project my own shit onto her about how she's going to feel about what I'm going to tell her. But
exactly.
None of that matters in the moment when I'm doing the thing, like I said, when I'm following my inspiration, when I'm doing what feels good, that doesn't matter until after.
So why bring your friend into it? If you know that this is going to be a issue with her, why even bring anyone into it?
I guess because I look at it as another form of self-exploration. I recognize that I have, that I feel uncomfortable. And so I'm slowly getting more comfortable with telling her and not fearing her reaction, or telling her and being secure in knowing that I'm doing what I'm doing because I know that it's right for me, and then just detaching from the outcome after I tell her.
You're inspired to share this with her.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is the inspiration for sharing it with her?
Because it's a big part of what's going on in my life. And
you want to share it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
And so you have a fear. And if she was 100% on board, happy for you, thought it was a wonderful thing, then there'd be no problem, right?
Right.
It would be wonderful to share this with her.
Yeah. Right? I have another friend that we connect on that level, and I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
You are wanting this person who you know is not likely to share this with you to be different than she is. Now, that's fine.
Right.
But if she can't, if you're, something's going to come from this, right?
Whoa.
So if you share it with her, you're going to get something out of it.
Yeah.
And what you're going to get back is a mirror of your judgmental self-judgment. Right. Right from her, which is fine. That's a manifestation event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want her to be different than she is, well, then you're just arguing against what is.
Right.
And making things harder than they can be.
Right.
So, so tell her and face your limiting beliefs.
Right.
Or don't tell her and solve your limiting beliefs on your own. Analyze them on your own. Reduce the intensity on your own. Right? You know it's a limiting belief already. You don't need a manifestation event to tell you that.
Without even realizing it, I mean, you obviously know what you're doing. This also addresses something that I had thought about bringing up today on the call. My gentleman friend, who I don't really know what we are, but I have the same thing with him where I have tried to be clear about the fact that I will probably be seeing other people. But I don't think he's necessarily comfortable with that, but I still have this desire to be able to talk to him about it. And it's so I'm just seeing now how that makes sense that I'm wanting him to be different than he is too. Okay. Right.
So find someone that's different than him.
Yeah, I did.
There you go. Now you have to deal with somebody who is comfortable with the idea of, you know, not sticking to this ridiculous idea of monogamy. Right? Because you still have this idea that monogamy is a good thing.
Do I?
Do you?
Maybe. I think I have this idea that I should think that it's a good thing.
You have a deep down belief that one day you'll be monogamous.
Really? Okay. Huh. Okay. Yeah.
And that's fine, too. But you don't have to be monogamous forever.
Right.
Monogamous until it's no longer fun to be monogamous.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with monogamy. Oh, it's just this idea of forced monogamy that makes it life a little bit less fun than it could be. If you want to be monogamous, then you should be monogamous. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be open to all types of relationships and possibilities, then you should be open to all types of relationships and possibilities. There is no wrong. It's all perfect.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's fun to figure out who can I bring in? Who can I talk to? What's going to happen if I do talk to them? What are the fears? The fears that your friend will judge you is an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
She will judge you, but who cares?
Right.
And all you're going to get out of that is a reflection of your own limiting belief back to you,
mm-hmm.
which is fun.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Astrid, are you enjoying the call?
Yeah.
I'm just hoping. Are you inspired to jump in and ask a question?
I was just hoping you would skip me.
We can skip you as long as you want. You can be a fly on the wall. There are many other flies on the wall of this conversation. So it is just as fun to sit back and listen to what everyone else is talking about. And one day you'll have this inspiration to say something, and then you'll say something. And you'll push through your fear.
Yeah, I had this manifestation event just before the call. So I was wondering if that was something I needed to talk about.
Sure. Perfect. Was there fear involved?
Yeah.
Well, seems like we're talking about irrational fear.
Yeah. What happened was my internet connection disappeared, which has never, ever happened before. And this happened.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Yeah. And it happened 1 hour before this. And then I got kind of panicked because, well, I said I would join you guys. And then I started worrying about what would they think if I, you know, if I don't show up for the call. And then it led me to this other thing that I have where I don't like helping people, especially my mom. And she just recently asked me to help her out next weekend, and I really don't want to do it, but I feel like I have to do it because if I don't do it, then I'll feel guilty. And the
so
guilt
you have
is
a choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You either feel guilty or you do something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So either way, you're going to encounter some negative emotion.
Yeah. And the thing that she wants me to do involves driving, and I hate to drive, so I know the reason I don't want to do it is because I'm scared of driving. And I'm scared of feeling guilty, because that feeling will last a lot longer than the event in itself.
So you can choose, you can weigh the scale. Which is going to be worse? Which is going to be worse? The guilt. The guilt's going to be worse. So I got to drive. Okay. Well, I'll get over my fear of driving, because once we will either crash into a tree or we'll make it, and either way it'll be over.
Yeah, so, but I don't know what to do with the guilt. Because I don't want to feel guilty for not helping.
We will let everyone off the hook now. You should not be helping anyone. No, no one should ever help anyone. Unless they are inspired to do it because they love helping. No one needs your help unless you're inspired to help them. If you're inspired to help them, it's because this inspiration is coming from non-physical. You're the perfect person to do the help. And the help that you actually give will be so powerful and engage universal forces because you love doing it, like Mother Teresa, that it will actually make a difference. If you do it because you think you should do it, then you just have a complete wobble in your vibration. You disengage the powers of the universe, and you are likely not to be of any help whatsoever. In fact, you're likely to make it worse. You're likely to move your mother and then have an argument with her and make it worse. You could give your mother, say, Mother, I'm very sorry. I cannot give you a ride, but I can hire you a taxi.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I don't want to disappoint her. It's the same that Kyle said. I'm afraid of disappointing my mom.
How do you know you're going to disappoint her? How do you know she's not thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I want to drive with Astrid. She's a terrible driver. She hates driving. She scares me every time we drive. She drives like an old lady. You don't know what she's thinking. You're making it all up.
Yeah.
So if you're not inspired to do something, then you have a free pass to get out of doing it. Unless, of course, you're going to continue to feel guilty, and the guilt is going to feel worse.
Yeah, because I have this belief that if you don't help people, then you're a bad person.
You are a good person if you don't help people. You're a bad person if you help people and don't want to help them and aren't inspired to help them. You're never bad. We're just kidding about that. You're just confused, we will say.
Yeah.
And you're not engaging the powers of the universe. Now, you can find a way to want to help her. You can choose to make it a fun experience. You can choose to be light and happy and curious and think, well, what's going to happen on this adventure we're going to have together? You can say, this is going to be the day that I'm going to drive the best I've ever driven. It's going to be safe and fun and easy, and nothing's going to go wrong. It's all going to be smooth. And we're going to have a great conversation. And this allows me to give back something to my mother. I really appreciate her and everything she's done for me. And so I can do this one thing. It's not a big deal. And I'm going to just make it fun, as fun as I can possibly make it.
Well,
or
I was.
You can not do it, and you can say, I'm not going to feel guilty about this. This is the life that I'm creating. I can create anything I want. And I am creating a world where my uninspired assistance is not required by anybody. And she's going to figure out on her own. And if she starts to rely on me now, then what's it going to be like in the future? Maybe I can build this creation that I want where everything is working out for me. And then if I choose not to help her when I'm not inspired to, someone else will help her. And it'll all work out. And I won't feel guilty about it. Right. Just like you were worried about the internet not working.
Yeah.
You know, somehow it worked out.
But then I'm wondering, because I'm scared, or because I don't like driving, because I'm scared for some reason that I'll hurt someone, which has never happened. But it's just this crazy fear that I have.
If you hurt someone, that is for them and for you. So you cannot hurt anybody.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that since I'm scared of driving, maybe I should do it just to face that fear. Is that, I mean...
Only if you can do it by bringing yourself into a high emotional state of being, by looking at it as a challenge, as a fun adventure, as something courageous, stepping out of my comfort zone, things like that. If you can bring yourself to that level, then we would say that that is the proper approach to it. If you can't do it, then you have to figure out something else. And maybe feeling guilt or guilty is the best option.
So if I face a fear, but I'm still afraid of it, then it doesn't really help to just dive into it?
If you can face a fear, but adjust your attitude about it, be open to it, pre-pave it, try and rationalize it. Try to imagine it working out perfectly. Do some work that way. And then imagine that whatever happens is for the highest good. And then you can go through it and you'll find I was less fearful than I had been before. This is a big step.
So do I pick to face the fear of feeling guilty or the fear of driving?
Whichever you feel more comfortable with. Which fear would you rather face?
I think I would rather be without the fear of feeling guilty.
And can you manage that?
I don't know.
Well, maybe it would be better to practice it on something smaller.
Yeah.
Next time you feel guilty, maybe it'd be better to work on a little thing and start analyzing that limiting belief, the limiting perspective. So have you felt guilty about anything recently?
I don't know. I feel guilty about most things.
So give us an example of a small thing you felt guilty about.
I don't know. I can't remember right now.
Have you ever not returned someone's phone call?
No, but I'll feel if someone invites me to a party or something, then I'll feel guilty if I say no because I think they were being really nice to ask me, but I don't want to go. And if I go, then I'll
That's exactly the same thing as what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You're invited to a party. That is a invitation not from the person that invited you, but from the universe to step out of your comfort zone and do something that is fearful, that you have fear around. And so you choose to stay in your comfort zone and you choose to stay with the guilt, right? And you choose not to alter your vibration and you choose not to move forward towards the things that you want. Which you want some big things. And the big things you want are all there waiting for you. But if you stay home by not driving your mother, by not going to a party, by not talking to strangers, by not doing these things, you're going to not make the changes necessary that will alter your vibration in a way that you become vibrationally aligned with what you want. So by not feeling guilty, you're really saying, I want to be able to say no more often and stay quiet in my quiet life more often without feeling guilty, which you can do if you want, and we will help you get there. We will help you live a small and quiet life if that's what you want.
Well, I also have another question about this going to a party. Is it okay, you guys, if I just throw it out there, or
Absolutely.
Does anyone else?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Well, so I've been trying to be more social, Saturday I was at this party, and I noticed that a lot of the time when I go out like that, I get bored. Everyone else is having fun, and I just want to go home and watch TV or read my book. And
so
I mean, I'm not. Yeah.
Is that a limiting belief? Boredom is a low emotional state of being.
Yeah.
And you can only get to a low emotional state of being by taking a perspective that is not in alignment with who you are. So while you're looking at this party and everyone having fun, you're thinking thoughts about yourself. Why aren't I having fun? Why aren't I like this? Why can't I be like this? What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Right? These things that are foreign to your inner self. Your inner self is saying, I because your inner self is you. So your inner self says, I am the most wonderful version of me that has ever existed in physical reality. And yet I have this perspective that I am less than the most awesome person that there has ever been. So it is a big difference. You're looking at yourself from a limited perspective, and your inner self is looking at you from a higher perspective. And since you are so used to this battle, you don't dip into despair, right? You dip into boredom. Because to you, that negative emotion is very familiar. You've had it your whole life, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you thought that you were the most wonderful person in the whole world, and you went to a party and people treated you like you weren't the most wonderful person in the whole world, then you would feel despair. You would be like, look at me, I'm the most wonderful person in the world. Why aren't I being treated like that? It wouldn't make any sense to you, and you'd feel this negative emotion because you're taking this perspective that is so off from how you normally see yourself. But because you normally see yourself as not worthy, not unique, not special, you get bored because you're used to other people not seeing you as worthy, unique, and special. We are going to treat you as the person that you are, the most worthy, the most unique, and the most special. And when we say the most is equal to every single other person that has ever, will ever, or is existing right now in reality. You are on in a amusement park. You've paid your ticket, and you get to ride any ride you want to ride. You are no more or less worthy than anyone else who's paid their ticket. You've made incredible, momentous, unbelievable we won't even say effort. It's not effort. It's this getting into vibrational alignment with the earth on the day you were born. By being born into this reality, you have already displayed how amazing you are. It is not easy to be born into physical reality. Most people try and jump out. You and all of you stuck with it and are here and are living it and facing it. And now you're even contemplating higher ideas than everyone else is, right? So you have gone to a very important place just by being born at this time of awakening. This is the greatest time to be here. This is the time that only those who are true, spectacular beings come to experience reality. And of all those billions of beings who are experiencing reality right now, you are on the leading edge of thought. So for you to look at yourself and think you're anything less than magnificent is quite shocking to your inner self and to us and to the other people who are listening around the world right now, 6 million people. They all believe you're incredible. Everyone talking here believes you're incredible. We believe you're incredible. And soon you're going to believe you're incredible. So you can do everything. And we will teach you how to deal with guilt so you can stay a quiet life. Or we will teach you how to push through your fears so that you can move forward at your own pace towards the life that you prefer. How about that?
Oh, wow.
And you can look at those who are on this one-on-one course and ask them what happened 6 months ago, how they were living their lives when they first started compared to how they're living their life now, and you will see that they've undergone a transformation. And it's continuing and continuing and continuing on this leading edge. So there, you are a magnificent driver. You are a magnificent person. You are fun to talk to. You are beautiful. You are intelligent. You are on the leading edge of thought. What else do you want? Are you a good cook?
Yeah.
You're a good cook? There you go.
I'm good at everything.
Yeah. Everything.
There you go. Excellent. Steve, you had an issue with your mother.
Oh, you covered it with Astrid, so that was perfect.
Awesome. Two birds.
But I do have a quick one, super quick, because I don't want to be – I know Wendy needs a turn still. So I'll be quick. I had an amazing trip up to my high school reunion That was, it was really about a day away, but I took 2 days because a friend let me borrow his magnificent motorcycle. So I had the combination of having a really great motorcycle and 2 days going up the beautiful California coast, and it was like perfect, right? And I go to my favorite restaurant ever that's beautiful. It's in Big Sur. I had an iced tea, and then I left, and I'm heading up the road, and 5 minutes later, and I don't ever throw up, ever. I can't remember the last time I barfed. I realized as I was going down the road that I was going to barf. And I thought, now this is an interesting turn of events because I'm having an amazing time. Everything is so perfect. I literally have to pinch myself, and I'm pulling off the side of the road to barf. So what was that all about?
So would you say that the barfing was wrong or was it right?
I didn't feel it was wrong or right. I just felt it was a sign, and I wanted to interpret
it. It's not necessarily a sign. But it is the pathway to the least resistant thing that could stop you and bring you to a different awareness at the time.
Well,
so we'll say maybe it got you off the road at the right time. Maybe it took your attention to something else at the right time. Maybe it reawoken you to a different feeling at the right time. That's what we wouldn't say it was. Anything to do with resistance or sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, is that like I was driving and I saw an accident and it just caught my eye and I paid attention and I realized I'd been speeding and I slowed down, not to even really look, but just contemplate it. And then 30 seconds later, a cop drove by, probably going to the accident, but I felt like it was something that triggered me to slow down.
Well, that is the most obvious thing to trigger you, but that all the time happens that you just aren't even paying attention and you're driving slower than normal, and then you'll pass a cop.
Right.
Or there'll be something to distract you from doing things the way you would normally do it because you are meant to avoid something or slow the timing down. See, the whole universe is set up on timing in physical reality. It's a space and time reality. And if you are going with the flow of everything and not resisting, you are being led to be at certain places at certain times so that things line up. And it's obviously very complicated, but things have to intersect one thing after other. This has to happen, then that happens, then that happens, then that happens, that happens, and this person sees that. And then now she's given this chance to realize her dream or resist it. Well, we're putting her in the spot. She's getting close, getting close, getting close. Oh, she just missed it.
So with Steve and the throwing up, is that something significant? I would be asking the same question. I would wonder, like, do I need to figure out what this is about? Yeah.
We would say in this case, it was more about him being at the right place at the right time. Or him not being at the wrong place at the wrong time. But there is no wrong or wrong. But just things lining up.
Huh.
So that everything works together smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
And this is just the item of least resistance, even though it seemed resistant. In this case, we don't think it was. Yep.
Okay.
Otherwise, how was the trip?
Amazing. Perfect.
Were you the highlight of the whole reunion?
In my reality, yes, I was.
Are you the most famous person in your class?
No.
Are there other people talking to 6 million listeners?
I wouldn't know. I flew under the radar as far as the spiritual side of me, even though Kyla did out me on Facebook to a couple of my friends for the first time. She did an ad. And then
it was just a post
with my face on it. And I don't know how this happened, but two of my friends texted me in the morning saying, "You're doing this?" with pictures of this thing. And
how do you know their tone of voice in a text?
Well,
valid question.
It was
going to be, "You're doing this."
It was interesting. I have one friend who actually kind of who's like-minded, but the reason I didn't share with him is he knows way too many of my other friends, And I didn't necessarily trust that he would keep it to himself. But he actually was like, I'm surprised you haven't shared this with me earlier.
Does anyone see Steve's limiting belief here? Is it just us or is it obvious?
Well, I think everyone has this limiting belief. No one's posting on Facebook they're doing this right now.
Steve, if you are the voice of 6 million leading edge thinkers, maybe you can feel comfortable sharing that.
Well, you know, it's surprising how comfortable this is. The start, I can see it happening, you know, because the two people that texted me are very well connected in my circles. And one of them, it's not necessarily like-minded. He's a fairly religious guy, but he's a good guy. So I didn't have a lot of concern that it's happening. I knew it was going to happen at some point, and I was kind of relieved almost, like, well, good, it's happening, and I'm going to deal with it just like everything else in the universe. Matter of fact, that was the thing that hit me, is I realized, I thought there's a few key people that I really would prefer them not to get it right now, and I realized that the universe will probably have these people come into awareness about me doing this at the right time. So the right people are going to learn first, is the way I'm feeling.
So two people noticed it.
Yeah.
And
told me about it. Probably more.
Many other people didn't notice it because they can't see it unless they're within vibrational range.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Mm.
Yep. So it's all working out at the right time. And when they do hear about it, they will believe whatever they believe based on their beliefs. So they might think, oh, this is the mindfulness movement. Oh, this is being positive. This is just being positive. Oh, this is channeling. If they think, oh, this is channeling, then there will be people who are open to the idea of channeling. If they think, oh, this is mindfulness, there'll be people who are open to that idea. Oh, this is positive, there will be people who think that being positive is a good thing. So there is nothing to worry about. And those who can't come to grips with it will never even notice it. They will miss that Facebook post.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be too far down the stream. They will be guided away from their computer for those moments.
Mm. I missed it.
I'm looking forward to the day that I post it myself on my page and say, hey, here I am.
Why not now?
Yeah, why not now?
I'm working on my limiting beliefs.
What's your username and password? Wendy,
yes.
How are you?
You know, thank you all for all the things you shared, because they were exactly the things I needed to hear as well. So that's always amazes me how connected we are without even trying. Mm-hmm. Just blows my mind.
I noticed that too. It is cool. Yep.
It just blows my mind. And I've been doing so much better, just feeling better, totally starting to recognize negative emotions. A couple of them with my husband, my greatest teacher, took me a while to work through, and I had to write to you guys about it, but I'm now understanding it a little bit better. And
wouldn't it be nicer if he was just different than he is?
No.
If he was just a nice person, not getting his persona battered about.
He is a nice person. If he just
but he's if he could be a little nicer, just a little tiny bit nicer,
just
then he wouldn't have to experience negative emotion.
Well, you know, but it was good because I was sitting there kind of bored, feeling like, okay, I'm just going along here, everything's good, and then he brought those things up that I grew from both of those events tremendously.
What did he bring up?
Well, he bothers me when he's eating.
If he would just eat properly, like a human being.
Quieter, yeah.
Like an animal.
I wonder if my sons and I both have a pet peeve about that. And then he kind of barked at me on Saturday about something that I thought was really silly, but it really came to my core. And so I had to really... It was my persona, my persona just feeling attacked, and there was really no attack. I mean, it was irrational.
Right. And just for fun, what was the thing that he attacked?
We had this event we were supposed to go to on Sunday for his work, and I was literally just asking questions because I wanted to make a plan, and now I realize I was trying to control, and
exactly.
It was his deal. I should have just like, okay, let's see what's going to happen here, and I didn't.
Why not see what's going to happen? Why yeah. not let the universe work it out? Why yeah. be in control? The only reason you want to be in control is you want to sidestep any little mine or hidden mm-hmm. explosive device that you might trigger along the way that will bring up negative emotion.
Right. right? I was worried
but if
about
you bring up, yeah. If you bring up negative emotion, all you're doing is identifying a limiting belief, so negative emotion is great. If you prepave it by setting your intentions to adopt this idea of curiosity and adventure and fun, then you no longer have that limiting belief, you know, swirling around your vibration. And therefore, it is not necessary to come up because you've already dealt with it.
Right.
So you can deal with the little fears. What if we're late? What if we take the wrong way to get there? What if I don't bring a dish? What if, you know, I get bored while I'm there? You can prepave all this stuff by setting intentions. And then there's no need for the event itself to bring up your limiting beliefs while you're actually at the event.
Mm-hmm.
That's what prepaving is, actually.
Yeah, I really appreciated you guys talking about that on the round table because I'd never really thought about the prepaving idea. I like that.
That's cool. Just setting your intentions. Yeah. Before you're born, you set your intentions. You said, I'm going to have a happy life. I'm going to be free. I'm going to expand joyously. I'm going to figure out things as I go along. I'm going to explore this one aspect of reality and see if I can't bring myself to another perspective on that. See if I can't dive into it, immerse myself into it, and then come out the other side knowing so much more about it.
Mm.
And a lot of that is fear, because fear does not exist in the non-physical, right? So in the non-physical, there's no fear. You might as well come here and play around with fear. What the hell is fear? Might, and a lot of people that. Abundance is abundant in the non-physical. Why not come down here and play around with the idea of poverty or lack? You know, individuality is not really a thing in non-physical. Why not come down here and experience this illusion of individuality? All these things. And they're all fun to do. But you get so serious about them and so wrapped up.
There's nothing serious going on here.
And, you know, you can understand how other people can feel fear and react as a defense mechanism to their persona.
Right.
So you can sit back and say, oh, you're just silly, you just defending your persona. It'll all be over in a minute. You're right. Fine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm sorry. Actually, you don't say it like that. You say, you're right. I'm sorry. Because you don't have to defend your persona, right?
Right.
They can't walk over you. It's not possible. You are in the state of non-resistance. So all you say is, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But you say it sincerely, though, not like Kyla. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right again. You're always right. I'm sorry.
It seems to work, though.
It works best when you do it sincerely, though.
Sure.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Good.
Well, does anyone else have anything pressing? Anything they want to talk about?
I'm good.
Now I'm going to go check up on manifestation events again in my notes.
Excellent. A manifestation event is simply the universe showing you what you're afraid of.
And then I go and look at my fears and try and show that they're irrational.
Why did I choose this perspective? Why did I choose to see this event as happening to me rather than for me?
Yeah.
Why did I see this person as wrong or bad? Why am I looking at it like this? Why am I seeing myself as wrong or bad? Why am I feeling guilty? Why am I feeling like I said the wrong thing? Why am I feeling like people don't like me? Why am I feeling this way? It's based on irrational fear. What's the irrational fear? The fear that I'm not good enough. The fear that I might say something silly. The fear that I need to make more money. The fear of whatever it is. Okay, well, that's all irrational. I'm obviously worthy. I'm obviously unique. I'm obviously magnificent. I made it here, didn't I? I know the universe will take care of me. I know I need to go with the flow. I know that I have these limiting beliefs, and thank God I have this guidance system in the form of negative emotions, so I can be alerted to the fact whenever I have a negative emotion, I'm popping up a fear or a limiting belief that's based on this irrational fear, and I can sit down and look at it, and I can prove it's irrational. And by proving it's irrational, it reduces intensity, and so the next time it comes up, it's not such a big deal. And when it comes up again, I'm going to prove it's false again. And I'm going to keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this until the fear is lower than the desire. And then I just push through the fear and I do what I need to do, and I'm on my way towards my desire. Excellent. So that's all a manifestation event is. So anytime you feel negative, anytime you feel positive emotion, that's the manifestation too. It shows you that you have a highly limiting belief. Do you ever feel goosebumps?
Occasionally.
Goosebumps are an indication that you are looking at something from a highly beneficial perspective. That you are completely, the way you're looking at it is like when someone gives you a compliment and you feel good, right? If someone gives you a compliment and you feel good, it's because your perspective is that you are looking at it from a high emotional state of being as an appropriate response to what they're saying based on your belief in yourself as a good person. Now, of course, people give you a compliment too, and if you don't believe that, then you will not be as feeling good about it. You'll think that they're crazy. Right? We suggest that you take all compliments as indications that you are a wonderful person and that every compliment is true. Everything that aligns with who you really are and what you really want is true. Every belief that's beneficial, no matter how crazy it is true. All beneficial beliefs are absolutely true. All limiting beliefs are absolutely false. Every time, without fail.
Thank you.
There you are.
We were on the call for 1, 11, and 11 seconds when you said that. So
that we feel goosebumps. We don't have goosebumps, but we feel them. Excellent.
Thank you.
We enjoyed this interaction immensely, and we had so much fun with all of you, and we're so grateful for all of you for participating, and we think this is the best time of your week. We have this interaction all the time with people all the time. They're usually dreaming, but anyway, it's still fun. And until next week, we are complete.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.